You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Zondervan, a revered and reliable source for transformative and inspirational content. Support this podcast by visiting zondervan.com and find your next favorite book. Now, on to the show.
Well, welcome into the Invitation Podcast. I am so glad that you guys accepted the invitation to join us here today. I have got my friend Pedro on today. I am so excited to have him on. Pedro, what's going on, my man?
Man, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be with you today.
Yeah, no worries. So, Pedro, tell us a little bit about your story. I mean, I know the people have heard me bring on all sorts of people that are pastors and have pastoral backgrounds or something like that. Your story is a little bit unique. And so tell us a little bit about where you come from and how you got to this point where you're at today.
Yeah. So it's a loaded question. I'll do my best to keep it pretty brief, but I didn't start in ministry or start with a desire to be in ministry at all. As a young kid, 7 years old, my father played professional baseball kind of before I was born. And my parents got divorced at seven. My dad and my mom split. And so life was pretty crazy early years, you can imagine. Saw two failed marriages before middle school, like went to 13 schools in 20 years.
Wow.
So just was all over the place. The crazy thing is that literally in every city, every state, every community, God strategically placed men and women into my life to love me back to Jesus, to love me into the faith, to love me into what it means to know God and not just hear about him. And so I was chasing at like 16, 17 years old, a professional baseball career, thought I had it in the tank to go pro and do all that stuff, kind of like dad. And he played minor league ball. And I thought at the very least I could play some minor league baseball, make some money,
sure,
maybe get a little famous, you know, that whole thing. That wouldn't be bad. I wouldn't turn it down.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of my identity was like this mixed identity between, if I could just make it, then I'll be somebody. And so encountering Jesus through the local church helped me realize, like, because of the finished work of Jesus, you've made it. Like, you are somebody. So you have full significance. Now you don't have to go earn it. You can just rest in who I am. At 17, 18 years old, I tore my rotator my senior year of high school. Actually, I hit a home run, opposite field home run, went out with a bang, tore my rotator and my labrum.
And that's just out, man. Wow.
You know, I just like to finish on top, you know, it's kind of a thing. I had to unpack a lot, as you can imagine, just a lot of lies about who God was and who I was. And I mean, all your listeners just need to know that what they're doing is so significant. I'm a byproduct of what happens, you know, when men and women make small but courageous deposits of faith into the life of another human being. And I get emotional even now just thinking about the power of the local church in my life. I mean, I went to Lutheran churches, Methodist churches, Catholic churches, Baptist churches, crazy churches, charismatic churches. I mean, I went to all kinds of churches. And every step of the way, I mean, just people that didn't just talk about Jesus, or people that didn't just walk with Jesus, but their desire was to walk like Jesus, is what transformed my life. And so no one ever had to shove Jesus down my throat. They gave me hamburgers and just showed me what it meant to love well and lead well. And through a series of events, I ended up wanting nothing more than to just do that, than to live into that myself. And so once the identity piece kind of was, just healed in me, it was easy for me to see, I want to spend the rest of my life helping other people live, whether that's through the water crisis in the world, whether that's through getting to preach on stages or at conferences, or whether that's through just sitting at a coffee shop in California where we live and just inviting people into the story of God and his love for them in the simplest of ways. And so I'm a byproduct, man, of what happens when people do it right and they love people well.
And you talk about something that I think is just a basic significant need for all believers to understand, and just knowing what your identity is in Christ, that you have made it. I love that you said it like that. I think that's something people are striving for, even Christians. And It's interesting though, like now what you do, and I purposely did not say what you do. I wanted you to get to this point so that we could reveal that you do work for Charity Water and you preach all over the country and you're doing this amazing work. For people that don't know the story, look it up. And I know you're going to share more about it, but you came to recognize the most basic thing that is essential to the Christian life, recognizing who we are in Christ. And now you're helping people get a basic need, our most basic thing that we need to live in through the water crisis. And so what have you seen from that? What has that been like for you? I mean, how did this come to be where you're working for Charity Water and you're recognizing, wow, God's moving through this?
Yeah, it's been a process, to be honest with you. It's just been a journey. And I always say God's preparing you for what he has prepared for you. And so as I look back on my life, there's just been all of these sort of hints of where God is leading. And people are always like, what is God's will for my life? And I say, man, just look at what he's doing right now, because whatever he's doing right now is going to be a reflection of what he has you walk into. And so he's equipping you. And so no different with me. He's been equipping me. For years, 4 or 5 years, I got to spend out on the road with Compassion International and doing almost every major event they have across the nation and advocating for children living in extreme poverty. I'd gone on a trip with Compassion, saw the work, was blown away. And after doing just about every single event you can, I was like, man, I kind of want to move into consulting and helping other organizations do it. And Scott and I met at just the right moment, and there was just a really beautiful kind of time of transition, sort of moving on from the Compassion thing and loving what they do. My wife and I still sponsor 2 kids. We're still cheering them on. I still coach some of their speakers and helping them keep telling the story well. But man, just kind of stepping into this new season with Charity Water. I mean, after 13 years of work, these guys have gotten, you know, close to 10 million people safe and clean drinking water, you know, unreal. And it's unreal. And so, and it's really a testament to the entire team and just average, ordinary people like me that all over the world that are just stepping up, people from the church, people from that have atheist backgrounds and agnostic and people of very different political, socioeconomic, you know, backgrounds, like everyone just going, man, we got to have all hands on deck. There's 663 million men, women, and children who wake up every day without access to clean water. Like that's you can't even fathom that number. One in 10
people. That is insane. That is insane.
So it's like, man, this, like you made the parallel beautifully. Like, there's just this thing that God's been doing in my life of going, I met you at your deepest, darkest moment of your despair. And then I brought you from that place into a new life. And so in the same way, I think I've always just been seeking to do that. I've never been like, I'm going to be an organization guy who goes around and champions causes. Like that's just never, I set out to be a baseball player and have a lot of Instagram followers. Like I just never set out to do the things I'm doing. I never set out to start a church. I never set out to do, like I never did. I've just been walking with Jesus. And as an overflow of that, he's led me into these moments where my family and I get the privilege of speaking up for those who don't have a voice and using my story the best I can to say, church, you've done it in my life. You've united and aimed love and purpose at human beings like me. Let's do it again. I'm going to give you an opportunity now just to do it again. And so that's what this has been. And it's been a beautiful journey, man.
And obviously the church has responded pretty well. I mean, they're doing some incredible work with you guys to help get safe, clean drinking water to individuals that need it. But I'm just thinking, you know, I want to get in on the good stuff here and everything that the church is doing. But I'm also thinking, you know, even just, I'm ashamed to say, part of you goes, man, that's so great they're doing that. Someone needs to do that. And then I'm thinking, we need to do that, you know, like that's something we need to jump in on. Do you see that a lot? Do you see where people are going, hey, you know what, I think there are some organizations that are crushing that, but it's really not hard to jump in and help with all this, is it? I mean, I feel like I sponsor a Compassion Child as well. You just want to have people jump in and get their hands as dirty as they possibly can for the glory of God here. So what do you see that you're like, man, we really need to improve in this area to make sure that people are getting clean drinking water? And then also share some of those things that you're like, this is incredible the way the church is moving and just rallying around this cause for Christ.
Yeah, I think we always have to remember for ourselves what we've been saved from. And when we remember how beautiful the rescue of God is for us personally, Romans just talks about it, right? Like this life of overflow. you know? And so our mission in our home, in my actual home, my wife and I, my son Justice, our home is all about enjoy God and invite others into the family of God. When you do one of those and not the other, you either become an extremist Bible salesman that no one likes to be around, or you become somebody who is spiritually obese, who knows a lot but never practices any of it. So you're never burning it off, putting it into application. So our heart in our home is constantly to go, how do we not only just have strong theology, but have it, you know, play out in methodology, the way we live our life. So I think we always start with, what have we been rescued from, and living from that place of awe of, man, God, you're incredible that you would use people like us. You're incredible that you loved us, that you sent your son, like just the basic gospel. Sometimes we hear about organizations and the work they're doing, and we just kind of, like you said, we can go numb and kind of have, man, I go to every store I go to, they're asking me to donate some dollars. And so we can just get almost like philanthropic numbness, where we forget who we are as the body and what we're called to be. So I think it all starts just remembering what God's done in your life personally. You know, there's that scripture in the Bible that says, here's what I want you to do. Take your average, everyday, ordinary life, place it before God as a love offering. The best thing you can do for God, enjoy what God's done for you. And I think when we are obsessing over what God's done for us, we naturally find ourselves getting our hands dirty, like you said, getting involved. And I'll be honest, I think the church is leading the way in this all over the world. I think we're leading the way in extreme generosity, what it means to live a life of generosity, not just conceptually talking about generosity, but actually getting in the game and going, I'm going to serve on my block. I'm going to serve in my neighborhood. You know, I'm going to serve in my nation. I'm going to pray for my leaders. I think the church is a beautiful representation of what God designed it to be. And this is a time unlike any other time we have to make a difference, specifically for me. And what I'm doing is we've been inviting people, 30 plus churches this year all across the nation, into the Spring, which is essentially a generous community of people from all over the world, all different backgrounds of faith and life and, like I said, political views. And we're inviting them to show up every single month for maybe it's $30 a month or $10 a month or $50 a month and help us in the water crisis. We believe the water crisis is going to be ended in our lifetime.
No right way. Now, 668 million people without water. You think it can be ended in our lifetime?
663 million people. And it can. Here's why. Because we now know that the problem is massive, but we also know it's solvable. Like, we know how to get clean water to people. All the we're doing it in real time. So now it's a matter of resources, right? It's not a matter of the actual, like, the mechanics of it. We know the mechanics of it. We know how to get people water. We have 13 different water solutions we can apply in all kinds of different demographics and regions and all of that. There's a lot of factors that are at play, but we know how to do it, and we're doing it in real time. You know, Charity Water is amazing. We've been able to track, you know, every water project we do with GPS coordinates, and so people can actually go see where their money's going. We've opened up two bank accounts from the very beginning. Our CEO, Scott Harrison, did, and so it's basically to where, hey, one accounts for all the overhead, all the non-sexy parts of running an organization, and the other account is going directly to projects. I mean, your Amex fee is covered by generous people from around the world. So I've seen generosity work, and I see it working right now. 100% of your proceeds are going directly to water projects, people actually tasting water for the very first time. So it's possible, man. And I think it will happen. I really do believe that. Our entire team believes that we will see a day when we can honestly wake up in the morning and go, everyone today is going to taste clean water. And I think we're well on our way there. And a practical way for people to get involved in that is through the Spring. It's basically a monthly subscription at $30 a month or whatever rate you want to go in at. And $30 a month, though, gives 12 people a year clean water for the very first time. So it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time, beautiful community to be a part of. My wife and I joined the Spring, and we're out just sharing it with churches and communities of faith all over the world, inviting people into it.
Let's take a quick break to hear from one of our wonderful sponsors.
Are you Struggling to find fresh ideas for date nights with your significant other? Well, we are excited to tell you about the answer to all your date night problems. It's called Night In Boxes. Night In Boxes is all about creating memorable date nights from the comfort of your home. The Night In Boxes team wants to give couples and families an amazing experience to create lasting memories. They even have a way to add faith to your date night to help deepen your relationship with God. This month, they're partnering with this podcast to give away two free boxes if you set up a Date Night In box or a Kids Night In box for the 6 or 12-month subscriptions. Trust me, it is going to be worth it. Each date night in a box includes interactive activities with ambiance and a tasty treat to bring you together in meaningful ways. Go to datenightinbox.com and use code CONVERGE at checkout to access the $79 discount when you sign up for a 6 or 12-month subscription and gain a fresh way to date your significant other. That's datenightinbox.com. Visit today.
Have you ever wondered what God has planned for you and your future? What were you made to do? Who were you made to be? It's time for answers. And in Case Carson's new book, Born for It, 90 Days and 90 Ways to Discover Your Gifts and Purpose, you'll be challenged to learn how to hear and trust God's voice while also understanding your unique gifting. God has special plans for each one of us, and it's our job to discover and fulfill His purpose for us. Perfect inspiration for the young graduate who's looking to their future, this brand new book, made available by our partners at Zondervan, is available April 23rd wherever you buy books. Get your copy today.
I'm curious because that's such like a profound amount of work, and also it seems so like satisfactory. Do you get to get out there and go and see some of the results of everything that you guys are doing? And what is that like? I can't even imagine. You see those videos of people that like are deaf and they hear their voice for the first time, or are partially blind and they can see for the first time. I mean, what's it like for someone that's never drank clean water to watch them drink clean water for the first time? I mean, that can make you emotional thinking about it for any length of time.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think where you have to start as a human being, when you hear all these stories and you hear people talk about this, you have to start with your own life. Like, imagine waking up at 75, 80 years old and you've never tasted clean water. You've heard about it, but all you know is filtering water through dirty rags, trying to get parasites out and bacteria out to the best of your ability, knowing that it's still going to be in there. Like, you're still going to be taking in things that are not healthy, knowing that if you give this water to your 5-year-old or under child, there's a good chance that within 24 to 48 hours, they could pass away. And so that's a reality that people wake up to every day. So when you see someone taste clean water, no different than somebody who maybe a homeless person in your city who gets a meal, a warm meal, like you just see them savoring it. Like it's their last, their first and their last. So it is a beautiful thing, man. Like, I've gotten to witness just life change on so many levels for people over these last 5 or 6 years of my life. And there's really nothing like it. And then when you come back to your everyday life, you realize that the thing you're complaining about, like the crack in your phone, or, you know what I mean? Every time you FaceTime someone, it's like they see three of you because of the crack, or that you're glowing. You're like, it's not a filter, I promise. You know, the things in our life are just so minuscule in comparison to just basic needs for people that they don't have, that they've never actually gotten to experience. I mean, women are walking 3, 4 or more hours a day all across the world every single day just to get their family water that in some cases may kill their children. And it's all they have. They have no other option. And that water is the water they need. The life that they need is just feet below them. It's in the ground in most cases. You know, they don't even know it. And so they're walking to get dirty water. And then you can picture a rig comes in and in 48 hours, they strike clean water, and it's all locally led. So everything we do is working with locals, training locals, and making sure that locals are getting the applause and locals are the heroes of their own story. And that's how we know this can actually not only be solved, but it can be sustained because it's locally led.
So there's like a relational aspect to this that goes deeper, because that's interesting too. I never really thought about the fact that you could easily come in and take the credit as the hero, but I've never seen that from Charity Water. Do you guys keep in touch with these individuals to make sure that they're continually getting this clean water, that things are going well? What is that like?
Yeah, so Scott and the team a while back decided, you know, we're gonna go a step further in proving our work. A big part of generosity in the Charity Water family is proving what we're doing, actually showing what we're doing. So they put sensors on every one of the water projects so that they can actually, at any point, zoom in to GPS coordinates and look and see how much water has been flowing by the gallon, by the liter, how many people approximately are being impacted. If it's a hand pump well type situation, how many hand pumps are happening in a day. So, I mean, all of our work is 100% trackable, which is beautiful. And we strive continually to improve that and take it to new levels. And actually joining the spring is the coolest thing, because every couple of weeks you're getting emails about the work in the field. You're actually seeing videos and hearing stories. And so it's not like a subscription-based thing where it's like many subscription-based things where we subscribe and we forget we subscribed. And a year later when we're doing our taxes, we realize, where did all that money go? Like, what,
right,
oh,
right.
I forgot I had that subscription. This is like, man, we want to remind you what you're a part of and the significant role you are playing in making sure that whole generations are changed. Because when water comes into a community, it's not just changing a life, although it is, it's changing generations of lives. It's changing the educational system. The infrastructure of society literally has changed around water. I mean, think about it. If your city didn't have water for a week, what would your city look like? How many people would keep going to work? How many people would be able to wake up and take showers? So cleanliness is affected, education, everything is affected by this basic thing that we so often take for granted. So yeah, it's a really unique time.
That's unbelievable. I think you've said something a few times on here that I think is so crucial to connect for people too, is like there's always this talk about overflow as if it's something that God like has to continually pour something into our cup, where he's already poured everything that we need to overflow into our communities. And so I think you're painting a beautiful picture of that, to really jump in on this with other people, to really partner with you guys and do some of the incredible work you're doing out there. And it's incredible. Where are some of the countries that you guys are doing this? Where are some of the really highly affected areas where this is needed?
I mean, it's all over the world. I mean, it's literally all over the world. So, you know, wow. South America, Central America, Africa, I mean, everywhere. I mean, there's water projects. The need for water, like when you hear 663 million people, like you can imagine, it's vast. And yeah. So we really have tried to focus on remote areas where trucks can't get to build wells and to drill. And so we're kind of looking at this from a multiple different angles of how do we affect change in whole areas. And we work with a lot of local partners in each of the places we're doing work. And so that's a big part of it, is sort of the vetting process with your local partners and making sure there's standards for what we're doing. And that's a lot of that proving that I'm talking to you about is so crucial as you partner with people who have, you know, like-mindedness. And then also there's a lot of iterations going back and forth between how much money is going out and how we proving every dollar. And so amazing team back in New York doing that work and keeping track, and people going into the field constantly to make sure things are going up to par. And it's a beautiful work happening, I can tell you that.
Do you guys have like a documentary? Y'all need a documentary or something like that. I mean, like that would be just mind blowing to pull up on Netflix. Need to do that. That's a separate conversation. But Pedro, I'm curious, what's the most satisfying thing about what you do? You can tell you're passionate about this. You can tell it's incredible. I mean, you go to churches and it's not just for, I mean, you're not selling like a resource that's going to be useful and then, you know, you'll come back and probably have some more to sell it, which are good things, you know, books and things like that. This is, I mean, you're selling generational change in the lives of people who have known nothing but suffering for the most part in some of these things. So I can only imagine what it's like for you. But what is the most satisfying part of what you do and how it connects to the gospel?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll say like this, every time I leave my home, you know, I live in Los Angeles and I get on the plane, and before I leave, it's always hard. You know, I early on in my traveling, I've been doing work like this and work on the road for 14, 15 years. And I would have guys be like, man, it's going to get easier. It's going to get easier leaving your wife. It's going to get easier leaving your kid. And in good heartedness, they were just trying to say like, hey, you're not always going to cry. You know, and the reality is I almost always cry. yeah, and the thing that wakes me up and gets our home united, my wife never has to see me leave. It's never Pedro's leaving. He's going to do a work. She's sending me. My home sends me to go do work. Why? Because as a home, we are grounded on the reality of what we're doing, that we are giving people the most basic needs so that they have a chance to hear possibly about God or some missionary comes through there. But that never happens if they don't have clean water. That their babies never see 5 years old, like my son, God willing, will get to see 5 years old. They will never see that if they don't get water. So for us, it's ascending. So it's a missional life that we get to step into. So what wakes me up every single day is knowing that, man, God, I'm so thankful that you rescued me. And then it's just crazy that I get to be a part of helping other people in some way. I think of the story of, so you said, as it pertains to the gospel, I think of the story of Simon Peter, right? When he first meets Jesus, kind of by the water, and he's washing his nets. He's defeated. He's frustrated. Arguably probably a teenage boy who's done his best at his craft, and he's come up short. And he throws the nets out at Jesus's word. He's like, all right, cool. I don't have any fish, so maybe I'll get a couple. And he gets more than he could ever bargain for, more than he could ever ask for. And the thing I love most about this story is that just moments before Jesus invites him into a life of mission and extreme generosity of catching people. Like, do we even have nets big enough for that? But catching people, loving people, moments before this, what does he say to him? You know? He basically says, like, man, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm willing to give you the thing you think you need the most. I'll give you the prophet. I'll give you the fish. But in standing in front of Jesus, he realizes what's far greater is a life of purpose, a life of meaning, a life of adding value, not trying to get value. And so I think that's what Jesus is often inviting all of us into when it comes to generosity. We often be like, okay, I have to be generous. No, you get to be generous. Like that's why Simon Peter left behind the boat full of profit, because he, I get to walk with you. Are you kidding me? I'm not worthy to walk with you. I'm not. Yeah. Come on. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Right.
I love it.
Like crazy. And then at Pentecost, he's the dude preaching and just throwing down, because he understood that the greatest value in all of life is sharing the love that has captured your heart, and it's worth leaving everything else behind. And so for us, that's what we're doing as a home. That's what we're venturing into. And it's been beautiful. I wake up every day with a smile on my face.
That is anti-American dream, but so incredible. I mean, purpose over profit. I love it, man. Well, Pedro, if you don't mind, go over this again for us. Number one, how can we get involved? $30 changes the lives of 12 people, and really by multiplication more than that. But how do we get involved? And then also, what's on the horizon for you, man? Where can people be on the lookout potentially to see you in the future and just to continually have the work that you guys are doing on their mind? It's so important, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple ways people can get involved. I mean, one, right now, our big thing is we are traveling all over the country, going into churches, sharing about this work. I get an opportunity to preach at many, many churches this year, and we're just kind of saying, hey, you know what? Let's go to 30 communities of faith, share with them about the opportunity of living generously, joining the spring. I think a lot of times you get a lot of, you know, organizations that come into churches and try to raise millions in a day or hundreds of thousands in a day. And this is like, hey, everyone can just show up monthly, do a little, and no one's going to have to do a lot. And we're going to do it together. It's all hands on deck, which I love. I love the idea of the United Church coming together and being about the things that Jesus is calling us to be about.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man. So that's the big thing. You know, we actually created a really simple link that people can go to and learn more not only about the spring, but also just in general about Charity Water. So at some point I can drop that, or we can post that for people to kind of check out.
Yeah, but we'll put that in the notes, you guys. So we'll put that in the notes for everybody so that they have the ability to do that, man. And I'm assuming you can just go on Charity Water's website and stuff like that. Y'all have a book too that just is doing incredibly well from everything I've heard. So I still need to read it. I've heard it's incredible though. I know Scott was in the Atlanta area not that long ago. His message at Passion City is incredible. So it's just crazy what y'all are doing.
The book is so good. I challenge you, if you're just even curious, even if you're like, you're like me and you're a skeptic and you're like, I just don't know about all this. I can't trust charities, man. Get the book. It's called Thirst. It's amazing. You can get it on Amazon and all that fun stuff. And yeah, it's incredible. I think I read the book in like 3 days, which is saying a lot because I take like 3 months to read half a book. So it's incredible when a book can capture you and you hear these stories in real time, the impact it's had. But yeah, if you're interested at all in being a part of it, that's a great place to start. There is, you talked about the documentary. There's a video you can go see about the spring and more. It's like a 20-21 minute video that I would encourage everyone to go watch. And it'll give you sort of the history of Charity Water and Scott's story and why water and what we're doing overseas all over the world and just practical ways of getting involved. So we'll give you some links on that stuff too.
Awesome. No worries, guys. We'll put all of that in the notes. Pedro, thank you so much for coming on, man. This is the ultimate, like, the podcast is called The Invitation. This is like the epitome of an invitation to join in for a greater cause than ourselves. So, dude, thank you for being on with us and sharing your story and really God's story through what you guys are doing, man. It's incredible.
It really is my honor, man. Thank you so much.
Dude, no worries. Well, guys, next time we'll be on with someone else that is hopefully just as incredible as Pedro has been this time. Thank you for accepting the invitation to join in with us. Until next time, we will talk to y'all later.
Thanks for listening to The Invitation with Luke Lazon. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com. With so many podcasts to choose from, we're glad you chose to tune in today. We'd like to invite you to listen to one of our other Converge podcast partners. Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo is all about having a dream or calling to serve God, but then daily putting it into action and drawing inspiration on the journey. Great encouragement for those looking to do big things for God. Subscribe today to Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo in your favorite podcasting app.